Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to my review of Dexter Original Sin. This is going to be episodes 2 and 3. Kid in the Candy Store and Miami Vice. It's going to be those two reviews I got. Matter of fact, those two episodes I got released last Friday. But I'm excited to be able to talk about Dexter Original Sin, episodes 2 and 3. So let's go on ahead. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. And hello, movie lovers. I'm welcome to the show. Like I said, I'm going to be reviewing Dexter Original Sin, episodes 2 and 3. Another thing, too, is before I get started, I just want to mention this. I'm actually sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics is actually part of a sports store and things like that. I actually got this nice hoodie over there. This is actually the Boston Celtics hoodie, which is very relaxing, very comfortable. So go on ahead and get yourself something from Fanatics. But without further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's review episodes 2 and 3. So what I have to say about this is the fact that I really enjoy the very first episode. Of course, you wouldn't know that because of the fact that I raved about the fact that I liked it. But, you know, I felt like this, okay? So when you continue the story of Dexter's Morgan, it goes into the early days in Miami Metro homicide, but it also sheds some light into the rest of the Morgan family's past as well. And as a prequel series, Dexter Original Sin doesn't show the Taylor serial killer at his best. But Dexter is still very early into his career and well shy of his massive kill count in Dexter. And he clearly experienced some growing pains at the start of a killing journey. And episodes 2 and 3 don't even dove deeper into Dexter's struggles with his second victim. And, you know, I really like how it starts off with Dexter outside of and here's the thing. I like how he's still inside the Miami metro area. And he's spinning around in his chair. His boss winds up catching him. Because, you know, Dex, I heard that you're great with your grades and stuff like that. And he's very flattered at the fact that, you know, he's an A average student. And just look, A's is not going to get it here. Okay. You feel one time you let the killer walk. And basically he did that in one of the seasons where basically he does let the killer walk. But it was to be able to catch the serial killer. And so the way he can have him for his own self. So he did let a killer go, but it was purposely done, even though whenever he gets investigated, he winds up telling, well, it was because of lack of sleep that I let a killer go. But I like the whole entire deal of having the boss call him out on it. Hey, look, this is not about grades anymore. This is actually the real deal, Dex. If you let someone go, you're liable because of that. So that's something I really liked about it. But, you know, outside of Dexter's murderous tendencies, it also had a couple of reveals for the rest of the show's cast. You have the new episode dove into it deeper in Harry Morgan's past, and they also give Deborah Morgan a chance to connect with her brother in a unique way. At Miami Metro also experienced a shakeup in the arrival of one of Dexter's original characters. Maria LaGreta shows up in this. Quite a bit happens in the original Sin episodes 2 and 3, and there were more than enough to reveal as a warranted full recap. As well, if you ever are into like recaps and stuff like that, but that's just a little side note. I want to make that clear. But you know, the thing that I like about this is they have found its first overarching villain in the form of Jimmy Powell's kidnapper. Jimmy is the son of Josh Powell, a notable Miami judge who is prosecuted drug dealers and other members of the cartel. Original Sin episode 2 revealed that Jimmy was being held by someone in a mask, and they were feeding him frozen lunches as meals. And you know what? Some people were speculating that this might actually be somebody that's part of someone that's actually working on the, you know, just basically working inside the police department and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's actually a thing or not, or if that's actually true, but some people are speculating. I think it actually goes against the character of who they're actually speculating it could be. But, and you know, Jimmy's kidnapped accidentally cut off one of his fingers and sent it to his father, and Dexter's deduced that they used garden shears to do it. But it's not clear who kidnapped Jimmy Powell yet, but the character of Dexter Original Sin had one privileged theory that Captain Spencer, like I said, Patrick Dempsey's character, thought that Jimmy was kidnapped by the cartel to punish the judge by prosecuting them so severely. Whether that proves true remains to be seen, but whoever is responsible is likely to be in trouble. Dexter remarked that the sight of the severed finger enraged him, and all he wanted to do was kill whoever was responsible. Additionally, most of Miami Metro is focused on finding Jimmy as soon as possible. So that leaves Dexter to his own demise, where basically he's going to try and figure out who's killing somebody else and try to get him on his table, since everybody's wrapped up around this one serial killer, or this one killer who actually has Judge Powell's son. So I thought that was interesting. You have that conflict going on over here. Then you have Dexter, who's trying to fit in with the Miami Metro Police Department and stuff. And, you know, the police department's over there busting his balls, and he's just trying to find a way, trying to find his footing in this. And they don't even take him serious at all, because as soon as he gets there, they wind up telling him, so what do you think happened, Dex? What's going on over here? And of course, his boss is like, well, you know, I could tell that's what it is, because there's actually a bullet hole engraved into the person's head. But I'll get to that in a minute. But Dexter got to work with his first crime scene under Tanya Martin, who's played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. But it wasn't the success that he was hoping for. Captain Spencer let Dexter come along on an NHI murder, and Batista James Martinez explained that NHI stands for no humans involved, meaning the victim was either a drug dealer, prostitute, or homeless. The other officers of Miami Metro who had Dexter get them coffee and breakfast, and then when he returned, he offered up a theory he got from examining the void in the blood. Tanya had him repeat his theory to everyone, and they all got a chance to laugh at Dexter. So basically, he's just a coffee boy, Ron. He's one of those guys, basically, if you think about it, like an assistant director kind of thing, where he's like getting coffee for them, getting breakfast for them, and not even taking him seriously or anything like that, because basically he's like a freshman out of high school and everything, if you think about it. And they're picking on him, busting his balls and stuff like that. And, you know, Dex is like this: well, if you look at where the void is and everything, that's actually where the killer was standing at. And then the way that the killer ended up killing him with the gun, you can tell that he was shot in the face. And I was like, duh, Dex, of course he got shot in the face. If you look at his forehead, that's actually where the bullet was. So it's a no-brainer. And everybody got a good laugh at him. And Dexter's like, what the hell? I thought I was actually trying to do something, you know? And then, you know, Dexter was so bad fitting in that Harry had to personally ask Batista to take Dexter out to help him get out of his shell, which I thought was hilarious. But I also like how Batista looks over at Masuka, and Masuka's over there doing something inside the background of hitting on this one chick without her even knowing it, and trying to feel her up on her ass and stuff inside the copy room. He goes, Masuka's better in small dosages. But also, too, they even take him out to lunch and stuff, and they also wind up busting his balls even more because of the fact that, you know, he's the new guy. And they're not taking him seriously. And they do this prank where Batista, Bobby, Watto, and Masuka got lunch. They played another prank on Dexter's by putting a void in his Campano sandwiches. Dexter tried to fit in jokingly about Bobby's health, but his comment came across insensitive. Dexter was so bad at fitting in that Harry had to personally ask Batista to take Dexter out to help him get out of his shell. But I like the fact that Dexter's like, oh, because here's the thing. When you actually have Christian Slater, Harry winds up taking Dexter to the side. He goes, look, part of fitting in is joking around with these guys and busting their balls. So you got to do the same thing that they're doing to you. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing it, and they're going to wonder what the hell is wrong with you. So you have to try and figure out a way to get fit in. So he decides to crack at Bobby. And he's like, well, you're one cardiac away from having a heart attack. And everybody's like, and then Batista's like, damn, dude, that's really cold hearted, especially when Harry had a heart attack himself. So why are you being insensitive? So, you know, Dexter's just trying to find his footing and trying to figure this out. And he doesn't know how to quite do it. He comes off kind of awkwardly and stuff like that, too. And I like that whole entire deal of him trying to fit into this Miami Metro team and trying to discover who he is and stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting on how they play it off. And then even when Batista does take him out, he's over there trying to, he's like, look, I don't know how to dance. He goes, it's okay. I'll teach you how to dance. Next thing you know, Batista's teaching him how to dance. Then, you know, there's also this other deal where they wind up taking a toast in somebody's name. And at first, Batista's like, look, you're not going to touch alcohol. You're 20 years old. I'm not going to get in trouble for that. But then he allows Dex to go on ahead and experience at least one shot. So that way he can toast to a memory of someone that he knows. So I thought that was a really, really cool aspect of the fact that, you know, Dexter does have friends. They're just going to bust his balls and Dexter just going to have to figure that out. And I also like how Dexter's sitting in the restaurant and he's like, some other guy was going to take somebody else's chair that was going to sit next to Dexter. He goes, no, I'm holding this for my friends. And I like how Michael C. Hall's character kind of goes into it. It's like, you know what? It feels good to actually have friends. And then it goes into the whole prank thing. But still, knowing that he has friends and that actually makes Dexter feel good about himself that he managed to actually have friends, that's a big improvement on his life, even to make him fit in even more. But then Deborah decides to pawn off her family's things and stole Nurse Mary's earrings, which now causes another conflict within Dexter because of the fact that he took Nurse Mary's earrings as a trophy, and now he has to try to figure out a way to get those earrings back from her friend Sophia. And I just like this whole entire deal where, you know, Deborah is over there trying to also figure herself out, and also because of the death of her mom and stuff, so that she doesn't know what to do or anything. And and she asked her friend, how are you getting all this money? She says, oh, I'm just pawning off things and things like that that my family don't need. They're not going to miss this stuff. So she winds up pawning off a mink coat. So that allows Deb to think, okay, well, maybe I can find something around the house that I can pawn off myself. And she winds up going through the jewelry of her mom, and she just can't quite do that or anything. So she winds up looking through Dex's VHS tapes and stuff like that, and she winds up finding the earrings that belong to the nurse, and she winds up taking that instead. But also, too, you know, that's also not a good thing because it can lead right back over to Dexter killing the nurse. But I just really like how this story is getting set up, because there's a lot of stuff that we knew about, but there was also some stuff that we didn't know about what was going on, especially when you look at the first season of Dexter and stuff like that. There's some callbacks of season one, but there's other stuff that we just don't know enough about, and I really am enjoying it. And while Dexter was trying to fit into Miami Metro, Deborah had her own plans. Deb's friend Sophia paid for an expensive pair of sunglasses and pawning her grandmother's mink coat. She convinced Deb to do the same with her family's belongings. Unfortunately, Deb found the earrings took from Nurse Mary as a trophy and tried to pawn them. Deb ended up selling her mother's pearl necklace instead as well, because Harry told her to move on after Doris's death. Deb's willingness to pawn her pearl necklace is a sign that she's growing more frustrated with how much attention Harry's giving Dexter over her. And yeah, you can actually tell that there's some type of nepotism, something that's actually pulling on Harry to want to spend more time with Dexter versus spending time with Deb. And Deb does not know why he's even spending more time with Dexter or anything like that. So she's pretty much on her own. And yeah, and whenever her friend Sophia is like, hey, that's your mother's pearls, she goes, well, Harry told me to fucking move on. So that's what I'm going to fucking do. I'm going to move on. So she winds up taking the earrings and pawning that too. And even though, because here's the thing, the pawn shop guy said that he can't take the earrings, but he'll take the pearls. And so that's where Deb winds up going on ahead and pawning the pearls instead of the earrings and gives it over to Sophia. But then you also have during Levi Reed's trial got underway in Dexter as well. Levi pled not guilty, but his girlfriend Albie won't work in court because she's not even sober enough to even do anything. because Levy Reed, the man that was arrested for the home invasion murders in episode one, began his trial in the second episode. Miami Metro arrested Reed because the partial fingerprints they found at a crime scene matched his, and because he was the only suspect who was both capable of committing the crime and tall enough to make the footprints Tanya found, Reed pleaded not guilty, and Spencer tried to assure Harry that it was an open and shut case. Reed's case got even worse when his girlfriend failed to provide an alibi because she couldn't remember that day of the week it was, because she's so damn high on stuff that she's off of, to the point where she doesn't even know where she's at. So how does she know where Reed is at either? So basically, he's going to plead guilty no matter which way you go about it. Then Dexter could end up killing Reed if he gets off on a technicality, which would be an interesting way to cause more tension between him and Harry. Because let me just tell you this. Dexter's actually stressing Harry out to the point where he doesn't know what the hell to do. And I'll get into that in a few minutes, especially whenever they have a confrontation about the earrings and stuff, because there's a lot to talk about there. But, you know, while it looks like Levy Reed's case will be easily decided in Miami Metro's favor, there's still a chance that there could be a surprise verdict. The mere fact that the original sentence following his court case seems to pretty much show that there's more to his story, and there are a few ways the show could benefit from an innocent verdict. For starters, Dexter could end up killing him if he gets off on a technicality, which would mean an interesting way to cause more tension between him and Harry. And it also could also be an opportunity to put Tanya in hot water as well, if her forensics work was off somehow, which also means that maybe that's how Tanya is no longer in the other seasons. Maybe Dexter, because of that thing that happens, maybe she has to transfer to another police department, or she gets kicked off the force altogether. So there's that whole entire thing of not knowing what's going to happen to a certain character. So therefore, you might actually have a little bit of suspense with that character, or she winds up just transferring to another police station instead. But still, either way it goes, I'm excited about seeing what's going to happen with Tanya. But Harry recruited Laura Moser, Dexter's mother, in a flashback. And so we have Harry basically telling Dexter's mom, hey, look, in order for you to go undercover with us, and to get rid of the charges, you're going to have to go undercover, try and be an informant for us, and so that way we can take down this cartels, so that way you can actually go home to Dexter every night, to your sons, without having to worry about anything. So throughout the episode, Harry Morgan has been having flashbacks of the time before he adopted Dexter as his son, and Harry remembered when he first encountered Laura Moser and Dexter's biological mother. Laura was arrested alongside a drug dealer named Joe, and Harry and his partner, Bobby Watt, managed to secure as a criminal informant with Laura. With Laura's help, Harry hoped to break into Hector Estrada's cartel and take down the cocaine dealers from the inside. They made a significant amount of progress, too, as Laura's high class Centel helped her move up from the ranks. And what I like about how Laura does this, though, right? They have her hooked up to a wire. Then Laura winds up making up this whole entire deal because they're catching on to her. So basically, they want to feel her up, see if she has a wire. She goes, hey, asshole, do you want to take a look and see what else I have? Okay. So she undoes her blouse, and it doesn't even show that she has a wire or anything because her hair's covering it up. But then she's like, and then he's like, well, if that's the case, then how were you able to leave the police station early and stuff like that, and you're not even in the jail cell? She goes, a little bit of abuse from Joe is all you need. He goes, see my tooth? Yeah, I chipped it. And it turns out that she actually was playing that off because she actually got injured. Her tooth got chipped because of a pogo accident that she had back when she was little. So I like how Laura is actually playing this undercover really well, to the point where, you know, she could wind up catching these guys, which I thought was a very interesting thing of seeing Harry and her work together. But yeah, with Laura's help, Harry hoped to break into Hector Estrada's cartel and take down the cocaine dealers from the inside. And then you have, aside from making progress with the investigation into Harry works with Laura, also reveals some new information about him. One flash revealed that after Junior Morgan's death in episode one, Harry and Doris Morgan were having some material problems at the time. They were struggling to conceive another child. Harry met Laura's children, Dexter and Brian Moser. A romantic relationship also started to spark between Harry and Laura, which should make their work together even more interesting because of the fact that we already know that Harry and her were both sleeping together. And there's also that one scene that plays out where Harry's about to leave to go back home. And Laura's like, look, I'm a babysitter. Do you want to? And we're already got the hotel room for another couple of hours. Do you want to go? Do you want to just go ahead and sleep together? So, you know, that's he winds up doing the deed probably. So Dexter began looking through the archives and bringing donuts to Miami Metro. Camilla helped Dexter find cases to figure out how to gain popularity through donuts. And here's the thing. I like the fact that we actually have a young Camilla in this, though, because remember, we actually see her older and she winds up dying in season one. And basically what happens is Dexter winds up putting something in her pie to help her with the pain that she has. And then she winds up dying. Because Dexter just is like a mercy kill for her because she requested it. But I like the fact that, you know, you have Camilla helping him inside the file room and also, too, to actually figure out a way to win the guys over with some donuts. And Dexter's first attempt to interrogate him, basically to get on their good side, was to actually bring a veggie platter, which is a big mistake at a police station because nobody wants to eat healthy over there. Regardless of the fact that some people are on cholesterol medicine or anything like that, they don't care about that. They want donuts. They want something sweet. And I like how Camilla goes, don't worry, honey. I'll take care of this. She dumps it into the trash. And then the next day you have the signature thing that Dexter does every single season of Dexter, bringing donuts into the police station. But yeah, I definitely like the whole entire conversation between him and Camilla. And, you know, I definitely like that. And of course, her being in the evidence room. And then he also tells her, hey, look, aren't you supposed to be putting this into the system? She goes, honey, it'll be too much on me to be able to do this and put it into the system. Look at all this evidence. Does it look like I have time for this? So that's what winds up happening. So Dexter winds up, goes on Dexter's trip to the record room. Didn't just give him the idea to bring donuts. However, Tanya wanted Dexter to pull files related to drugs. And he ended up finding one connected to Renee Carballo. When Angel Batista took Dexter out for drinks that night, he heard the story of how Renee and his mother died, and he was inspired to hunt down their killer. Dexter will likely return to the record room for more potential victims several times as Original Sin continues, because we always see him do this. Harry still smokes and drinks despite his heart problems. Because remember, he's not supposed to drink. He's not supposed to do any of this other stuff that he does. Otherwise, it's going to wind up causing him to have more heart problems. And so, you know, despite having a heart attack in the premiere of the season, Harry Morgan is already back to his bad habits. Deb had been trying to keep Harry healthy by cutting back on red meat and forcing him to stop smoking and drinking. Dexter even tried to help as well, as he brought the nicotine substitute Nicorette for his father. And I like how Dex uses this as a metaphor of like saying, too bad there's no Nicorette for me, for someone that kills people. But for Harry, I can give him a Nicorette to actually help him with his problem smoking. For a while, it looked like Harry was making progress and he started eating lollipops instead of smoking. However, Harry couldn't keep his habits completely under control and he started smoking and drinking again in a cigarette after his children went to bed. And here's the thing. I like this scene, okay, where you actually have a camera on the very top and it's moving through the areas of the house to where it shows Harry over there battling with stuff, secrets on his end. Then you have Deb on the phone as well having secrets. And then you have Dex also having secrets of his own as well. So this whole entire family has nothing but built on secrets and things like that too. So I like this whole entire atmosphere of this camera going in, showing us the darkness within this family of everybody going through their own deals and their own stuff and their own insecurities and things like that in their own darkness. So I definitely like that. I definitely like how they set that up. And Harry's return to his old habits isn't a good sign for him. After a heart attack, most people have to give up drinking and smoking to help their heart heal and avoid another cardiac arrest. If you remember in season one, Harry dies a couple of months later after he gets out of the hospital. So this is actually setting up for this. And Harry's doctors had told him to do the same if he continued his bad habits. Harry could have another heart attack in the future. As the very least, they'll even cause even more tension between him and Deb. Plus, the stress of Dexter's life as a serial killer isn't good for Harry's heart. So he's got a lot of problems ahead. Then you also have the introduction to Maria as well in this episode, where Maria Legretta has made a big introduction at Miami Metro Homicide. But you can definitely tell that Maria is always wanting to be in the spotlight. She always wants to be the center of attention. She always wants to be the smart person and things like that. And I like how Harry is not so sure about her or anything like that because of the fact that she already thinks that this whole entire team's actually incompetent. Like, let me just tell you this. She thinks that all they do is NHI cases, no human involved, homicides, and also, too, there's no shut cases. Everything has still remained open to the point where they're showing some kind of incompetence of the fact that they don't even care about what they're doing. It's the same plot licking Maria was known for in the original series, and she criticized the department for investigating NHIs, and also Captain Spencer already hates her for speaking to the papers, and he ordered Harry to give him any reason he could find to fire her. But as Harry finds out, she's a very good detective. She's very good at what she does. So it's hard to find something on someone that's actually really good at what she does. And I like how Batiste is also checking her out and stuff like that too. And he's like, easy guys, let me show you how it's done. So I like how he has like that flirtatious side that we knew from Batiste, that history that we knew between him and Legretta is there. At the very beginning of the season already that we're going to be seeing later on in the future. The only problem with Spencer's plan is that Maria has been a great detective so far. She digitized many of Miami Metro's case files, and she even managed to track down witnesses Harry and Bobby could never convince to give statements. Harry even started to admire Maria, and he offered her help investigating one of the cold cases. Even though she's a good cop, Maria's ambitions and tendencies to step over people as she rises to the ranks and causes some major problems in the future of original sin, particularly for Captain Spencer. So now we get into Deborah convinced Dexter to get her cocaine for her party. So you see, what happens is this, okay? Deborah didn't end up pawning Nurse Mary's earrings, but she did give them to Sophia, like I mentioned. But get this, Dexter invitedly saw Sophia wearing his trophies and immediately knew that Deb had stolen them. So therefore, Dex begged Deb to get them back, but Deb forced him to agree to get cocaine for a party she was hosting because of the fact that, here's the thing, everybody wants to be really popular with all these other girls and stuff, so therefore she wants to invite them over. And I like how Sophie goes, how the hell are you going to get cocaine? She goes, hell if I know, because she said, party at my house, we can watch movies, have pizza, and yes, there will be cocaine, but she does not have any clue at how she's going to do it or anything. But she's going to try and do it. But even when Sophia is also wearing the earrings at the dinner table, we have this whole entire deal of Sophia looking at Dexter. Dexter's looking at Sophia because he's angry because she's wearing the trophies. And so Harry and Dex actually have a confrontation, like I mentioned earlier, where he's like, Dex, what the hell? She goes, I know that you've been mentioned. I know that you guys are kind of smitten with Sophia. He's like, Dad, it's not what you think it is. She's got my earrings. He goes, what the hell do you mean she has her earrings? She has my earrings, Dad. And he's like, wait, what? They were the nurses. And and now you can see that Dex is actually stressing him out to the point where he actually slams him up against the wall. He goes, what do you mean? And he goes, they're mine. And he goes, wait, those are trophies. What are you doing? He goes, this is how people get caught. This is how dumb people get caught. You're not a dumb person. Stop doing this. And it's also very creepy that you're doing this. So there's no reason you should do this. The job should be enough to suffice whatever need that you need, but yet you're still doing what you normally do. And it's not enough for Dex. He has to kill something solid. It has to be something bleeding. It has to be a human being for him to actually keep the dark passenger at bay. But, you know, then after that, Deb was trying to get voted as the volley team's playoff captain, and she needed to beat her teammate Tiff, who was having a party. The only way she could convince her teammates to come to her house instead, but was promising to get cocaine and Deb and you used Dexter's desperation to her advantage. And Dexter ended up getting the last laugh on Deb, however, as he didn't get real cocaine for her. He ended up making cocaine by combining caffeine powder and benzocaine, which was enough to convince Deb's young and inexperienced friends to that they actually have cocaine. She goes, wait, I didn't ask for this. No, I said I would help you. I did not say I was going to get you cocaine. I just said I would help you. So he said, if it looks like cocaine and stuff, it's cocaine. It's just differently. So Deb also directly helped Dexter get the earrings back by taking him on a shopping trip to get replacement earrings for Sophia. And I like how they're on this boardwalk and they finally find the place to get the earrings. So she winds up Dexter winds up paying for the earrings. And she said, hey, Dex, do you remember the time that we were last on this boardwalk? He goes, no, I don't remember. It was, you were 2 years old and Santa Claus was right there. So I like the fact that she's bringing up some type of family history with him and saying, hey, look, I miss you. I want to hang out with you and stuff. So I like that whole entire dynamic of the chemistry between her and Dex. I thought that was really good. But by the time the party started, everything ended up working out except for one unintended consequence. Sophia takes vaccination with her earrings as a sign that he likes her. So this is where it gets complicated, right? So the entire time Sophia had Mary's earrings, Dexter was infatuated with her. To be clear, he was more infatuated with the earrings than Sophia herself. But everyone, even Deb and Harry, thought. And I like the quote that Harry said. Well, not Harry, but what Dex said. He goes, well, this is the curse of having a detective as a father. But, you know, this is where I was telling you about the fact that, you know, with the replacement earrings. So he winds up giving the replacement earrings over to Sophia. And she accepts them. And then next thing you know it, she winds up giving him a kiss outside before he leaves. And I like how he doesn't know what to do. So he just gives her like a fist bump and then he leaves. So I just thought that was a little funny thing that happens because of the fact it shows the awkwardness with Dexter. And he's never been a woman, basically someone that would go after Dexter at all for if you're attracted to a woman or anything. So I definitely like that whole entire awkwardness of it. And then after that, you actually have Dexter has been very socially awkward and strange person, and he handed Sophia a kiss about as well as he could expected. Instead of reciprocating, he abruptly left with the weak excuse of having to run some errands. Dexter won't be able to avoid Sophia for long, however, and the two are going to have an awkward conversation sooner or later. It's not clear how Dexter will get out of his unintended relationship, but it should be interesting to watch. But then now we're getting into this. OK, so I know that I mentioned in episode one, it's getting to the setup of basically finding Dexter's second kill. And I like the fact that it starts off with something slow at the first for that second episode and it leads into something on the third episode. So I like how they do this. And you know, Dexter's second kill was Lone Shark named Handsome Tony Ferreira. And, you know, then Dexter, so here's the thing. It's quickly given Dexter more victims to kill, and he found his second in the form of Handsome Tony Ferreira, a Lone Shark who played on the Cuban community. Dexter learned about Ferreira and Batista, who relayed the story of Rene Carbillo, remember? And Ferreira's victims. Had loaned Rene money, and when he threatened for it, he eventually shot Rene's mother in the head. Rene later killed himself out of guilt. Throughout Original Sin in episode 2 and 3, Dexter was investigating the cold case file, and he ended up approaching Ferreira under the alias Patrick Bateman, and he ends up getting Masuka to get him a fake ID. And of course, Patrick Bateman's a callback to American Psycho, which I thought was pretty interesting, and I've been thinking about this. What if Harry and them are investigating this case because of the stuff that happens at the very end of it? What happens if they actually have to go to the video store to find because of the fact that people think this is a fictional character's name? Once they find that out, they're going to find out who rented the videotape of American Psycho and how many times that they rented it. And it might actually lead back to Dexter. So, and then it might lead up to Dexter probably trying to figure out a way to get out of it. But that's just me speculating at this moment. But after borrowing money from his manipulating Ferrara into firing a warning shot into a tree, Dexter was able to confirm that he did kill Renee's mother. After he got Harry's blessing, Dexter knocked Ferrara out and brought him to the Ja'ala Arena, where they first met to kill him. Dexter interrogates Ferrara, got him to confess to his murder, and knocked him out by throwing a jello ball at him, which also puts a cut on his right cheek. In a classic Dexter style, because remember, whenever he's trying to get his trophies, he always winds up cutting the person's cheek, and then he winds up taking the blood sample. But in this case, he doesn't do that with this. But I like how let me talk about this, okay? So I like how Dex is over there talking to him. He goes, "Look, he's like, well, what do you think of the sport?" Dex is over there looking at him. "I'm more of a spectator. I don't really care about what's going on or anything." And then he winds up talking about what the ball is made out of. And then Ferrara is like, "Look, you're here for a reason. You're here to talk to me. You're not here to watch the game." He goes, "Okay, you caught me. I need $400 for a suit for an interview." He goes, "Why don't we just make that even $500? This is a guy that you don't want to come across, because also, too, he's also wearing crocodile shoes as well. He's someone of a power, you know? And so he winds up writing him in the book. He goes, "Look, I'll give you $500. And then after that, it's 10%. After 10%, if I don't get it, it goes up every single time. But if you don't pay me at all, you die." He'll put a bullet in his eye, basically. And then so, you know, this is also the same play that happened when it's actually the same play that happens with his other with Tony's other victims, where you have where, you know, he winds up firing a warning shot first, and then he kills them after if they don't go on ahead and pay him later on. So you have that happen. So now it goes into two things here. Number one, when the ball hits Tony in the face, it leaves a scar, right? Then he wakes up. Now he's laying flat on a table. He's tied up still in Dexter fashion. And, you know, he winds up, instead of him just dabbing little Tony or anything like that, he winds up decapitating his head. And then after that, dumps it into the alligator alley. And then after that, the arm pops back up. He also tosses Nurse Mary's earrings into the water. So this also links him back to the murder of Tony. So, and also too, Patrick Bateman's name is inside little Tony's book, which could also lead the police into, like I said before, with finding out who Patrick Bateman is, because he seems like he's the only person that survived this. He didn't mark Patrick Bateman off the list. So that leads probably Dexter having to do some type of thing where he has to write the nurse Mary's name into the book. And she winds up becoming little Tony's victim. That's just me speculating. I don't know, but still. And then that's pretty much how the episode ends. But still, all in all, great episode. I really enjoy this episode for what it is. But, you know, then Ferrara's death seems to be the end of him. However, Dexter brought his corpse to the same place in the Everglades when dumping Nurse Mary's body, and he is fed to the loan shark. The alligator there again. This time, however, the alligators missed a spot, and Ferrara's arm was ring still attached to and went uneaten. Ferrara has been known as a criminal, and his prints are almost certainly that Miami's Metro's database, which could be a major problem for Dexter also, because he also threw Mary's earrings into the water. So if the police find Ferrara's arm, they might also find evidence of Nurse Mary's murder. And then also, too, this might also lead into how Dexter winds up getting the boat of Slice of Life. And I want to see how we get Slice of Life. I want to see that boat back again, because it's so iconic. It's part of Dexter, part of who Dexter is in Miami. And this also leads to him probably having to find another dumping ground, which is out in the Atlantic that we actually know. So, yeah, tell me what you guys think, though. Do you guys like episodes 2 and 3 of Dexter? Tell me in the comments. I would like to actually know. Are you excited about Dexter Original Sin? Are you not excited about it? Tell me in the comments. I'd like to know what you guys think. But that's going to be it as far as this episode goes. Do me a favor. I actually, like I said before, at the very beginning, I'm actually sponsored by Fanatics. Go on ahead, get yourself some gear and stuff like that. The link will be in the description below, so you guys can go on ahead and get that. This is going to be it as far as this review goes. I thank you so much for watching this. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe day. And catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.